and welcome to the Triple Feature Podcast with me, Jillian Reck, and my co-host, Stephen Dendy, and Pedro Vargas.
Hello.
This is episode 3, and how are you doing, guys?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. This week, our theme is, what is the worst comedy you've ever seen? The worst comedy you have ever seen. We had a heck of a time picking these movies. It seemed a lot easier when we set the theme. It seemed like it was going to be pretty easy to pick, but it turned out to be a pretty hard choice. It took us actually a couple of weeks to settle on what movies we were picking. But, guys, what movies did you pick?
I picked Scary Movie 3.
And I picked Soul Plane.
And I picked The Watch. I think we picked the movies we did for very different reasons, and that's one thing I actually want to talk about later on in the podcast, is what makes comedy bad. I think it's a very subjective topic that everyone has a different answer to. So we'll go into that a little bit later. But let's start with these movies. So, Pedro, why did you choose Soul Plane as your worst comedy?
Well, it felt like it always stood out for me. It really I saw it in the theaters with some friends.
I hope you're not still friends with those people.
I mean, one of them, I guess you could say.
So what you're saying is you actually paid money to see this movie.
I paid money. I went to the theater, and I wasn't looking forward to it. Everybody wanted to go. I didn't necessarily have to go, but since it was such an immediate decision that everyone made, like, oh, you know, like, it's there, like, let's just watch it, just to watch a movie, whatever.
Right.
Let's not think about it. Let's just go and see it. And it just always stood out as just a really horrible, horrible piece of shit comedy.
Now tell me, did the people you were with enjoy the movie?
I probably not. I know I hated it.
Okay.
But the thing is, there's at that time, my friends had a certain taste to how they pick comedies like that, or like a really shitty action. Like, they're, you know, like, they don't normally like care, you know, like, they don't, you know, like, I do, like, I like before I find a movie, like, I'd like to know if it's a good movie, if it was if the critics, if it was well, you know, received by the critics,
right?
Stuff like that, you know. But I just knew that it was just a bad movie,
right?
I just, you know, you just look at the poster and the type of comedians that are in it,
right?
And you just know, and the trailers. I remember seeing the trailers on TV, so.
Now, I will say, of the three movies that we chose, Soul Plane is definitely the worst, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's the only one that we can unanimously agree was actually a bad movie.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Yeah.
or should I say unanimously the worst comedy movie of the
year. Yeah. I think this may win in my book for worst comedy ever made until, of course, I see another one. But
could very well.
Yeah. But one question that kept running through my mind while I was watching this movie is, who is this movie for? Because it's a black movie, okay, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, the IMDb summary is, things get raucously funny, I don't think so, aboard the maiden flight of a black-owned airline, thanks to some last-minute passenger additions. Okay, so I guess that's a good summary, but not really.
Yeah.
Basically, this... this movie is about...
it's all, you know, it's not just a black comedy. It's,
no,
you
it's
know,
not.
It's got, like, you know, it spoofs a lot of, like...
That's the thing. It felt things. Like it was trying to be a spoof, kind right. of like it's, the it's, scary it's, movie movies.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it was trying to do what Airplane originally did. You know, it was trying to. That's how I tried to. Like, it was trying to be like the new, modern type of Airplane movie, and it completely missed the point of what made Airplane great.
The majority yes. of it, though, felt like it was just caricaturing black people. You know,
right?
It felt like it was caricaturing everybody.
See, that's the thing.
Oh,
that's
true,
why
yeah.
I couldn't figure it out, because there are black movies, okay? When you call them urban, you can call them whatever you want, but there are black movies, and I feel like this was trying to either spoof them or show that they were bad, but at the same time, it was celebrating them.
I think it was more the culture, because, you know, there were, like, certain... Like, I remember the terminal that, you know, that they had for that specific airline.
Mm-hmm.
It had, like, a basketball court.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
but
I think like
again,
a Popeyes or whatever. I don't know, something like
that. You have what I would. I mean, obviously, I'm the whitest person on the planet, but if I was black, I think that I would be insulted by some of the stuff in this movie. Of course, I can't say because I'm not. But you know, they've got digs on white people. They've got digs on Hispanics. They've got digs on Muslims in there. They've got
right.
You know, they've got. Everyone,
it makes you think, like, would they be offended? You know,
right.
I mean, it's
I would
a comedy.
Be. I think I would be. I mean, I don't know, maybe, like, obviously, I wasn't offended by the white people in the movie, even though they're completely stereotypical. Everybody's stereotypical in the movie.
They may well call this movie Stereotype the Movie.
Seriously. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So we've
yeah.
got Tom Arnold, who may be the most white man on the planet.
Whose name is Hunky.
Whose name is Hunky, spelled Hunky, but pronounced Honky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God damn. And he is the representative of the entire white race, apparently, in this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
which...
you know, exactly. He's the dad with the daughter, and he's like, oh, don't be going with those other, you know,
right.
you're underaged, and you know,
right.
you can't. Oh, you gotta go. Oh, I'm the angry dad trying to make sure everything falls, you know, perfectly
yeah.
well together. Blah blah blah. You know.
Yeah.
He's that type of white dad character.
So the only thing I could conclude was that this movie was for black people who had a sense of humor about themselves.
And white people as
I
well.
Guess.
Little,
this
little
movie
bit,
was definitely
bit.
Not for white people. I feel.
No. I mean, it, obviously it wasn't. You
yeah.
know, this is full on for...
But then again, yeah. like... there are movies that are definitely not, not made with the majority of people in mind. You know, black, white, whatever. There are movies that are,
yeah.
you know, super, you know, middle-class white people movies, and there are what I guess they call urban movies, which I don't really get why they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
but
this is, it's interesting with this one, because it's like... You know, if it were like a white comedy, they won't say white comedy.
Right.
It's pure black comedy. You know what I mean? But you know, like, that's the intention, is to grab the black audience. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
And I guess now that I think about it, you were right about the Airplane thing, that it is just a black comedy version of Airplane's sense of humor, just over the top
right
gags and stuff,
but also completely missing the point of what Airplane was doing.
Absolutely
right. Right.
It could have been a cool new take, but it just wholly misses the mark.
I don't think I laughed once
I was searching for anything resembling a joke.
The only thing that actually held my my interest was the short scene with Terry Crews as the security guard.
Oh, God, yeah. I wrote that in my notes. I think he was probably the only... He was kind of scary. He plays scary pretty well, actually. I was actually impressed by his scariness.
Well, yeah, he's actually...
He's known to play pretty scary actors.
I'm not
going to
say he's a good dramatic actor, but he can hold a scene pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he made
me laugh. He made me laugh in that particular scene.
Yeah.
There were parts that I liked. There were parts I laughed. I mean, you know, like a chuckle or whatever.
There was not one part in this movie I laughed. I actually fell asleep in this movie.
Oh, my God.
I fell asleep about the last 15 minutes, and I absolutely do not care what happened in those 15 minutes.
Yeah,
this movie was so bad that my Xbox signed me out on Netflix. It was like, this is too bad for you to watch.
Usually, I focus in on a movie because that's how I watch movies. I like to focus.
Right.
But with this one, I'd get up, I'd make breakfast, and as I'm eating my breakfast, I'd have that movie as sort of like a background, kind of like, not background noise, but like just in the background, and I'm watching it and paying attention to it, but not really putting too much focus on it because I know it's not going to be like a fine art type movie.
Right.
You know?
I have to say, I actually sat there and I paid attention to the whole thing. I think because I was so confused by it, I felt like I needed answers.
You're kind of like studying it.
Like seriously, like what were they thinking?
Yeah.
It just felt like a whole cluster garbage of a movie.
Yes. Cluster Duck. Yeah.
Cluster Duck. Yes. The Adventures of Cluster Duck. Now I know, Steven, you hate Kevin Hart, who is the main character in this movie.
It's not necessarily that I hated... Oh, in this movie, yes. In this movie, I hated Kevin Hart for what he made me do in this movie. But he's just a comedian that I just don't particularly find funny, or you know, I mean, it's not that it's bad. It just never appealed to me.
Right.
But this movie, oh my God, it's just like he turned the annoyance up to like 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really seen his like comedy specials or anything.
He's okay. He's not the worst comedian I've ever seen, but you know,
I would not say he's the worst.
If you find him irritating.
It just never appealed to me. You know, I don't think I've ever like listened to a bit he's done and laughed. You know,
no, I've laughed at some of his stand up. He's an okay stand up, but I mean, he was supposed to be the straight man in this movie, and I think he's better as the clown. If that makes sense.
I will agree with that because I actually...
Like in Scary Movie 3, right?
Exactly.
I actually enjoyed Kevin Hart. Like, for me, Kevin Hart was probably the best performance in Scary Movie 3 for me. I actually enjoyed
his
stuff on the screen.
Yeah, because he was the clown.
Playing the straight man, yeah, I don't know if he could play the straight man, but when he was playing that character bit in Scary Movie, and is particularly when he's bouncing off of... who was the other guy that he was...
Anthony Anderson, I think it's called.
Is that his name? I've forgotten his name. Yeah. I really like those two guys' chemistry together. So, you know, I think, you know, I can find Kevin Hart funny because I did find him funny in Scary Movie 3. But in this movie, it was just, there was nothing appealing in any aspect in this film.
He wasn't really that funny in this.
He was just loud. I think he thought, the more I talk, the funnier I'll be. And it just didn't...
Yeah.
It didn't work. But anyway, maybe that can be our segue into Scary Movie 3.
Cool.
So, Steven, why did you pick Scary Movie 3 as the worst comedy you've ever seen?
I picked Scary Movie 3 because I am a really big fan of spoof movies. You know, I love Airplane. I love, the Naked Gun movies, the... now I'm just blanking on all the other ones. But anyway, I was a big fan of spoof movies, and I did enjoy the first two Scary Movies. You know, they sort of brought in the new wave of spoof movies, and then comes Scary Movie 3, into which it just completely stops being a spoof movie almost. I mean, like Scary Movie 3 itself is still a spoof movie because they're still spoofing movies, but this is like, for me, the transition point of when they stop being spoof movies.
Well, I don't know about that. It was definitely spoofing a bunch of
It was spoofing particular movies.
Right.
Like other spoof movies, like Airplane was spoofing a genre of disaster films.
Right.
The other scary movies were taking on different genres of horror movies, not just one movie. Although you know. There was like a main arc of a movie, you know,
right.
like particular Scream.
Right.
But they're also tackling different horror aspects. Like the first one was dealing with slasher movies. The second one was dealing with ghost movies, like House on Haunted Hill, 13 Ghosts, that mm-hmm. type of scary movies. Whereas this was mainly just spoofing Signs, which I guess you can classify that as
Signs and the Ring.
Signs, the Ring, 8 Mile for some reason. And there was a bit from The Others. I think it was The Others.
Yeah, The Others.
I must have missed The Others.
The bit with Michael Jackson was a spoof of The Others.
With the little girl. Or, yeah. Remember?
Or when the kid's in the room with the blanket over her head, and he pulls the blanket off, and it's Michael Jackson.
And
The Matrix? Like, The Matrix?
Yeah, The Matrix was in there. So it was basically every movie that had come out a couple of years before Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, exactly.
What was out that right. time.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly. why you were probably disappointed, is because they lost their type theme.
Yeah, exactly. They lost them. This is when it started becoming a more of like a pop culture referencing of immediately things. It like became the YouTube of spoofing.
Mm-hmm.
Of just whatever just recently came out. And after this, it follows Scary Movie 4 and 5, which I never saw. And then you have Meet the Spartans, which is just spoofing one movie.
Right.
And then Date Movie, Disaster Movie, you know, all those guys, they're the same ones responsible for these movies. And they're just not funny. Because they're not spoofing, I mean, they're not doing what spoofing movies were.
After Scary Movie 1, that... It sort of felt it all went downhill.
I do agree. Scary Movie 1 was the best, even though 2 is really badly received. I still kind of enjoyed it.
I don't remember 1 and 2 very well. I will say that 3 made me laugh quite a bit.
I will admit 3 did have some funny parts.
And I found it more funny than Scary Movie 2. Like, I didn't really like Scary Movie 2. There's just something about it that didn't. Well,
even with all its bad faults, I still enjoyed Scary Movie 2 better than this movie. For me, why I picked this is because this was the transition of when the spoof movies stopped being funny. They stopped being spoof movies for me.
Right.
And so that's why.
So this was the jumping off point for spoof movies jumping the shark.
Yeah, exactly. Like this for me. This is a spoof movie jumping the shark moment. I was like, I do not want to. I came out of the movie like, I do not want to see any more spoof movies by these guys ever again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you say these guys, I mean the Zucker Brothers made some really, really spoof movies.
Yeah.
And I think their writing is really obviously present in Scary Movie 3, even though it had problems.
It did have a Naked Gun vibe to the writing and the comedy.
And the timing. And like I said, I laughed out loud quite a bit. I would say of the three movies, this was definitely my favorite.
Like the jokes weren't that bad. And it had some pretty good visual gags, too.
Sure.
Like I said, there were some funny bits in this, but as a whole, it was just not enough.
Right.
It was because it just stopped feeling like what the other two were, which were like, at least for me, spoofing.
So you're more like upset more about like where it sort of went. Not necessarily with the style of comedy it had, even though it was spoofing everything.
So you probably you felt it was the worst because it wasn't as good as it should have been?
Like, it fell out of line. Like, if it was like, it's no longer like the first two.
Particularly for me, it felt like, at least starting with this movie, that, you know, they're still spoofing this movie, but at least starting with this movie, they stopped being spoofing, and they just became referential. Where they're just referencing other movies.
That's fair.
Yes, there are still some spoofing stuff in here, which admittedly, when it does work, it does work, because I still thoroughly enjoyed Leslie Nielsen in this movie.
Oh, me too. He was almost doing a cameo in this movie.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, in a way. He was like a side character.
I absolutely love his last line being, good luck, we're all counting on you.
From Airplane.
I thought the line you were talking about, like, was like when they were what they thought were aliens inside the White House. And then like his assistant, I think it was D.L. Hughley, and he goes, man, this is exciting. He's like, I know, you should feel my nipples. I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, that has to be the line Jill was talking about, because
it's not,
I
actually,
laughed hard.
But I did laugh at that. Leslie Nielsen is
hard to find a movie in which he is not good in, even if the movie itself is bad, but he
Surf Ninjas
still stands out.
Surf Ninjas.
That's another thing. This is the second movie you chose where it has Leslie Nielsen.
And, you know, I actually did not pick up on that until just now.
Better movie than Surf Ninjas, just putting it out there.
Well, you know, probably because this movie had money to buy knives.
You know what, there is that. But you know what, money can't buy knives. So.
Jeez Louise, Papa Cheese.
Okay, but, so yeah, let me just say, I
feel like too much of this movie would just referencing other movies, and it stopped being spoofing of the movies.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, I hate horror movies. I stay away from them. I avoid them like the plague, because my imagination runs away with me. I can't sleep. I will say, a lot of people say that Signs is not scary. I didn't sleep for 2 weeks after seeing Signs.
I personally do not... I consider Signs more of a suspense movie than a horror movie, but I definitely can see why some people consider it horror.
I used to be afraid of aliens,
because there are alien horror movies out there, and I could see Signs fitting that bill. But it's not for me personally, but I do see it.
So why would they include that? Yeah,
but I feel like they should have included other alien horror movies referencing. It's like they just did Signs the movie.
Yeah.
Over, but with, you know, some
with the ring.
The thing is, I probably didn't get half of the references in this movie because I haven't seen The Ring. I haven't seen a lot of the scary movies that they were referencing, but I have seen Signs. I've seen The Matrix. I didn't see 8 Mile.
We pretty much get the idea what
but you
mile,
get the
eight mile
but you
about.
Get the idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, if you've seen the trailer for The Ring, you know what's going on.
The Ring exactly.
and
8 Mile.
Even with
yeah.
the Ring, even with The Ring, they could have blended in so easily the other horror movies like The Ring, like The Grudge,
right.
and Ju-on. And the other, they could have referenced those so easily, so seemingly, and it felt like it didn't. It just felt like there was Signs and The Ring.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of Scary Movie 4, and they do The Grudge in that one, and
I do remember seeing trailers of them like continuing on with that. But I'm pretty sure The Grudge came out around this time anyway.
It came out in the fourth one in Scary Movie 4. Like that's what they made fun of in Scary Movie 4. With Saw
I'm pretty sure like the Grudge movie itself came out.
Oh, came out around that time?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure The Grudge and The Ring came out around the same time. Mm. But it felt like it just sort of focused on The Ring.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just felt like they just stopped doing spoof movies
I will say I did laugh a lot at the fact that the aliens in Signs turned out to just be like generic alien costumes. I thought that was kind of brilliant, actually.
Yeah, they don't look as, like, scary.
No, and that's great, because you can just laugh at it then, you know?
Exactly. Like, I love little visual stuff, you know, visual gags like that. Like, they take something as scary as aliens, but they make it so funny by making it look generic like that.
The other part I remember laughing out loud during this was in the scene where they're spoofing in Signs, where the wife is pinned against a tree by the car, and she's about to die. And Charlie Sheen is talking to the cop, and the cop is I mean, obviously, it's a very Zuckerberg moment where he's trying to explain. How she's stuck to the car and all this.
Yeah.
And
by using food.
By using food. Yes. And at one point, she breaks a hot dog in half.
Right.
To show that the wife is broken in half. And he pulls out a donut.
Right.
And I laughed my ass off.
It's like, what if her bottom half, like this donut, works? And
that part made me really crack up, because it was like, how far can they take this joke? And they got the timing just right.
There was a funny line that Charlie Sheen says, I don't understand this medical lingo you're telling me. And it's like, what? She's using food.
that made me laugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the fact that this made you say you never want to see another movie from them again, it shows that they've given you such a good track record before of their work that you expected more. You know what I mean?
Well, I just feel like they lost sight of how to do a spoof movie.
And you know what? I'm looking at the IMDb page right now, and the tagline on the poster is "Great trilogies come in threes." So it's almost like they had to make a movie and didn't know what to do with it.
Well, yeah.
Then they also still go on to do 4, 5.
And they do keep with that epic horror element. It's not just spoofing every movie that came out. They do sort of keep in that.
Well, except for The Matrix. You know,
But those were like minimal, like the 8 Mile stuff, and you know.
They kind of lost me when they did the Matrix stuff. The Eminem thing came out of nowhere.
The 8 Mile thing
was just in the middle of the movie for no reason.
But that stuff was minimal. I mean, you know, like the majority
really.
That
scene went on for about 20 minutes. The rap battle.
Well, not the entire movie. I don't, you know.
Out with Pam Anderson and what's her face.
Alright.
And then
Amber Tamblyn?
I don't remember.
That was Jenny McCarthy and Pamela Anderson, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of another.
And like that was like the almost like the opening credits, like, hey, look, we've got Pam Anderson's boobs. And then it was 20 minutes of Eminem.
Well,
and then they went into more scary movies. So it was
I think they were like, well, the first one it was what's her name? The other big boob chick. Raquel? I don't know.
You talking about boob one or boob two?
I'm not up on my supermodel, so it's up to you.
Well,
guys.
It's you know, in the first scary movie, like it starts out as this big boob model. You know, they were spoofing Scream, the first Scream movie, and they used a big boob model. So I think that's what they were doing with Scary Movie 3. In the beginning, they used big boob models. To sort of, you know,
make basically they're referencing their own movies now, too.
Pretty much, yeah.
I wouldn't say referencing. It's kind of like bringing that back.
It's sort of a callback, but
yeah.
But you know, it just, you know, because the first, like I said, the first scary movie, they were referencing a particular genre, not just one. Even though they did mainly focus with scary movie, with Scream, but they were, you know, they're referencing slasher movies. The second one, even though it was particularly bad, they were referencing like the ghosts movies, like House on Haunted Hill and 13 Ghosts, and the other ones
The Invisible Man one, I forget. Yeah,
maybe. But this one, they were just referencing a recent like movie. They were just
in its defense, though, they did stick with that horror element with the, you know, like they
only insofar as the particular movie that they happened to be referencing was horror. I mean, had they include Signs in like a more general aliens in general type spoofing, I think it would have worked better. Or if they had done The Ring in a more general Asian horror movie.
You're saying like it wasn't really necessary to put those on the board. Yeah.
It was a little bit more. It was just more obvious, you know, like with Scary Movie.
I think it was all a horror environment.
So well, I think it was a little harder to pick out. Oh, so they're doing that reference now. This one was just like, okay, now we'll be doing the Signs portion of our movie.
I think also it was a gimmick so that people would watch it anyway. Yeah. You know, like it wouldn't just be horror. It'd be like, oh, everybody watch the Matrix. It's huge.
Yeah.
And 8 Mile, like, you know, let's make fun of that.
They're just becoming referential. They're not really spoofing. They're just referencing other movies.
Yeah, it's almost like, congratulations, you got the reference.
But it's basically they wrote down all the movies that happened within the last 2 years, and they just mm-hmm. threw them into the movie.
But yeah. I've realized, though, that I think it's also used as a gimmick just to you know, get audiences to see the movie.
That may be why they did it, but I just don't think it works.
Well, I think that's why they made the movie at all. I mean,
you know, I think it was a moneymaker. I think, you know, it was just another sequel just so that, you know, Hollywood, whatever big studio could get more money, you know.
But for me, it just doesn't work. I mean, when you just reference movies and you're just focusing on, I mean, because all the other spoof movies, like Airplane was doing disaster movies. Naked Gun was referencing the genre of buddy cop movies
mm-hmm.
and police movies and... You know, in Scream, they were referencing slasher movies. Whereas this, they're just referencing specific movies, like saying, hey, this recently just happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Aren't we funny? And for me, it just doesn't work. But still,
I'm not surprised that they went that route because, you know, like, it's a moneymaker, you know, and they'll, I think they'll do whatever it takes, really.
Obviously, they made four and five, so... You know, yeah, we're not saying that makes it okay that it sucked. We're just saying we understand that.
Oh yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, just I mean, a crap out of movie if people pay for it, fine. Yeah, hey, it works, but the quality immediately dropped for me.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of the spoofing quality,
it is by no means a good movie.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
It has some laughs in it. It has some funny moments, but overall, it's. Yeah. I certainly
expect better from people, especially from David Zucker. Who have done other previously mm-hmm. Spoof mm-hmm. movies and done them well. They should know how to do a spoof movie, and it just feel like they just lost complete sight of how to do it.
Maybe he was commissioned. Maybe he was commissioned to do this, but even still,
you would think, you know, with, you know, his track record of previous, of actually doing this type
of stuff. Yeah, but sometimes, another thing to consider is that I think executives also...
I was
going
to say that, the studio probably got involved.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, maybe their intent was to make a really funny... another really good scary movie, but maybe the audience is like, add the Matrix in there. People are going to love it or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, that might be what happened. We'll have to look into that.
Right.
Anyway, we should probably move on.
Yes.
So I picked The Watch from 2012 with Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and Richard Iowati from the IT Crowd. I had a really hard time picking my movie. Like I said at the beginning, it seemed like an easy question, what's the worst comedy you've ever seen? But when you really start to think about it, I think a problem all of us may have had a little bit was that we tend to not watch a comedy at all if it looks like it's going to be bad. And it's easier to spot a bad comedy by a trailer than a bad dramatic movie or a bad action movie. So a lot of the movies that I wanted to pick, I'd actually never seen, so I didn't feel like I could judge it fairly to say it was the worst I'd ever seen.
Because I'm sure y'all two did it too, but I was checking worst horror movie lists, and most of them, I hadn't even seen.
Yeah.
I was going to do that, but I don't know how, it just came up in my mind, Soul Plane.
Well, yeah. I mean, Yeah, I mean, once you see Soul Plane, you can't forget that.
There's no going back.
It's just, you know, I mean,
I actively lost brain cells watching that movie.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm sure,
did
all the actors, but
yeah, yeah.
It's for a different reason.
The thing is, like, I remember, like, seeing, like, snippets of, like, other really horrible spoof comedies. I think the Meet the Spartans one was one that they played on TV. And I saw it, and I hated it.
And, you know, if I'd seen it, but Scary Movie 3 was my last movie of theirs that I had watched. So
yeah, so I'm sure there's a lot worse movies
out there, but I just, you know, it's Jill said, it's a lot easier to spot a bad comedy and stay away from it.
Yeah. So I thought about all the movies I'd seen in the last couple of years, and I settled on The Watch. I'll just say right off the bat, I don't care for Vince Vaughn at all. I don't think he's funny. I know some people. I know, Steven, you said you love him.
I do.
He just annoys the shit out of me.
I can tell. I liked him in that movie, Swingers.
I haven't seen that.
And that's it.
I haven't seen that. But, I mean, in this movie especially, he just, every word out of his mouth, I just wanted him to shut up. Ben Stiller, I could take or leave. I don't dislike him, but I don't really like him either.
Stiller is one of those people that who I really enjoyed his early work, but in the recent years, he just sort of gotten almost progressively worse.
He's just annoying more than anything. Jonah Hill, I will say, of everyone in this movie, he made me laugh the most, even though I didn't laugh very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
He actually made me laugh out loud a couple times.
No, I will say, I've never been that big of a Jonah Hill fan, but I will say he was pretty good in this movie.
Yeah, and Richard Iowati from the IT Crowd, this is his first American movie, and he did really feel like the odd one out of this.
He did.
I don't know
if you guys felt this way, but I feel like he and Jonah Hill's character were sort of competing to who was going to be the weird person of the group.
It was almost like the two least famous actors in the movie were fighting for who was going to be funnier and not the worst one in the movie.
Yeah, and
but overall, obviously this movie has a lot higher production quality than the other two movies that were chosen, than Soul Plane and Scary Movie 3.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's definitely not the worst comedy I've ever seen.
I really enjoyed watching this movie. It had
an okay story. You know, for what it was, it wasn't that bad of a movie, but
I laughed quite a lot.
I think the reason I didn't like it the first time I saw it was I was expecting a little bit more of it, I think, because it was advertised as sci-fi comedy. I had higher hopes for it. Sci-fi comedy is fairly new as far as film is concerned. I mean, there's the bigger ones, like Men in Black was really the first American comedy. Galaxy Quest came after that, and you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the book came before, but the movie came after Men in Black, and ever since, I think, around the time of Men in Black, it's become this kind of subgenre.
Mm,
and they're usually pretty good. I really like sci-fi, I really like comedy, and I was hoping for more, especially considering how much I love Richard Iowati in the IT Crowd.
He was pretty funny in this, like, he'd say, like, little
funny
lines.
He was pretty funny. He did well with what he was given. He just wasn't given very much.
Yeah, he was really underused until, like, the last
Until the last
act of the movie.
I think they did that so that, oh, you know, you'd never expect him to be the alien in the end, you know.
It's spoiler alert.
Spoiler, whatever.
Richard Iowati is an alien.
I don't think people are going to...
And his character is also an alien.
If you were excited about seeing The Watch, we can't help you.
Sorry.
Find another movie to aspire to.
I would still say go see it, because I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's not a horrible movie. It's not a great movie, though.
I don't know. I would consider owning this movie, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
I enjoyed it. I mean, that's not something to say I didn't have problems with it, because I did. Because you know, thematically, I was confused what this movie was trying to do, because it felt like, at least for most of the movie, it was sort of like a general audience movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just starting getting very, like, R-rated and explicit, and it felt like it was confused about which way it wanted to go with that.
You know, it felt like the comedy, Tropical Thunder, that kind of type of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In parts it did, but in other parts it felt like it was going to be like a general comedy movie for general audiences.
Right. It did feel like a family type thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like almost like a family type movie, and then it would just side swerve into, like, you know, Tropic Thunder R-rated comedy,
right.
and then it would go back. And so, there, you know, I was sort of confused as maybe, like, what exactly, you know, for me, if it would have picked either one, it would have been great, but it felt like it was flip-flopping, and it just felt very confused, like it didn't know what it wanted to be.
Yeah,
like, I didn't expect that kind of gore in this kind of movie, like, they find, like, the first body killed,
mm-hmm.
like the skin was ripped and the blood was everywhere. Like, I didn't expect that, because it didn't really establish that movie, it was going to be that type of comedy.
To be fair, though, I hate any kind of gore, and that wasn't that bad to me. That seemed pretty tame.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not, yeah. Like, it was like what Steven was saying, you'd expect it to be like a family type thing.
Right, the way they started out is very tame, and then slowly gets worse and worse,
and then it's
pretty much just fully a guy movie.
Yeah.
That's probably why I didn't like it as much either. It's very guy oriented.
It's a guy.
It's a guy movie, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, it's, you know, as a film, it's, you know, production quality was high. It has good parts and bad parts. But I think they had a good idea and squandered it on dick jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Dick jokes. Like typical guy jokes.
Pretty much.
And, I mean, it's, you know, it's full-on guy movie. I mean, it's got everything a guy wants. It's got aliens. It's got, you know, it's got the bro cave with,
it
you know.
It felt almost like someone wrote a really good sci-fi short story about aliens and a neighborhood watch.
That's another thing.
And then they brought in, like, Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn and the other two and just let them play with improv, and they lost the story.
And you know, and that's something you got to watch with improv, because improv can really help a movie.
Yeah,
you know, and really help with the chemistry of the character.
You also
got to know when to rein it in.
Yeah,
like it seemed like it had the outline. Like, they had the outline for them, not necessarily a script, an outline of the movie, and then they just, because they're comedians, they just add the funny parts in there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't intent. Like how they made the outline wasn't funny, but they were the ones who were supposed to make it funny, because they're the comedians.
And it was very odd to me, the times that they tried to make it either poignant or, like, actually emotionally touching, they went in some really dark directions.
Yeah.
I forgot what. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ben Stiller can't have children.
Oh,
Vince Vaughn's daughter almost gets raped.
The thing is, I didn't care about that. I was like, you know, the entire movie was about, like, just them trying to fight aliens.
I mean,
that
it was
part.
It felt like they were trying to squeeze in, oh, each of these guys are working out their own issues.
Yeah.
What it ultimately felt like was, none of these guys care about each other's personal lives. All they care about is drinking beer and getting
married.
You know what I mean?
I didn't believe the Vince Vaughn character, like, cared about Ben Stiller's character with his, you know. Like,
well,
I didn't really feel...
Ben Stiller didn't make me care about his problem either.
He
felt very one-dimensional and wooden in this movie. Yeah. Vince Vaughn, as much as he annoys me, I actually cared if he saved his daughter or not, to be fair.
His personal story was probably the most interesting and the one that we most cared for.
Yeah, and Jonah Hill was okay, this guy...
He didn't really have a...
Well, he did. He
He's more like a side.
He was rejected
character.
From the police force, so now he's just this angry kid who can't.
Which I gotta say,
get
that,
any respect. I mean.
That cop was probably one of the funniest parts in that movie. I loved all the scenes when that cop was in.
Wilford. He's very good at making me want to kick him in the teeth. Let's put it that way. So he did a good job.
I would laugh hysterically when he was on it. I love that character. I love that that comedian actor.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
his part just worked for me.
Yeah.
But
it was funny.
But yeah, I did laugh a couple of times. It's not the worst. It's definitely not the worst comedy I've ever seen.
There was one part that made me laugh a lot was when Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller like they were angry at each other and they separated, and they were trying to who would get Franklin. Like the Jonah Hill character.
Yeah.
It's like, and then Vince was like, Franklin, come here, boy.
Yeah.
Come here.
And it was like, Vince was like, Franklin is his own man. He can make his own decisions. Now, Franklin, get your ass in the house.
Yeah. And he had that face like of a dog. Like, yeah. He'd be like, I don't know who to go.
Yeah. No, I will say, Jonah Hill does annoy me a lot, but he was probably my favorite part of this movie. And that's saying a lot because I really do love Richard Iowati.
Yeah, Richard Iowati was good.
He just didn't get that same kind of appearance, that exposure like Jonah Hill did. So.
I think because they made him the alien, he had to hold back.
That's the thing, like for the story.
His character was holding back.
Yeah.
That's the thing, the story itself. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I really feel like this movie was almost like a modern redone of the Tom Hanks movie Suburbs, almost.
The Burbs?
Well, you know what? Burbs. It reminded me a lot of The World's End with Simon Pegg.
And I haven't seen that movie yet.
Oh, you got to watch that movie. That's an awesome movie.
It's a fucking awesome.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it better be. That's an awesome, awesome movie.
See
where you're going with it, though, Pedro?
Well, it's a small town, and there was drinking involved and beer, and, you know, the movie, The World's End, you know, there's certain elements that, you know, and the aliens hiding.
You know what? You do have
people.
A point. I think The World's End was a 10, and this movie was a 3. Trying to tell the same story.
And I noticed that even though The Watch came before, it was a year before The World's End.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe it was one of those movies made to compete with The World's End.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It could be.
I got a very, very...
It's very similar, and Hollywood is known to do that.
Yeah.
So...
You could have a point there.
So, I mean, there are certain elements in both that really fit, you know, that are exactly alike.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Cool. So.
And of course, this whole movie, you know, is sort of based off like that old Twilight Zone episode of the monsters on Maple Street, where like everyone suspecting the neighbors.
Right. Right.
I mean, obviously the concept is nothing new. It's been done before. But yeah. But I feel like those two in particular just felt super similar.
Yeah, I didn't even pick that up. That's actually really accurate. But yeah, it was interesting. When we had to choose the movies, I was having a hard time, so I started asking everybody around me, what's the worst comedy you've ever seen? And something I noticed was that everybody was giving me very different answers for very different reasons.
Hmm.
And it makes sense because comedy is a very subjective thing. Everyone has a different sense of humor. You know, something I find funny, you could find completely dull and vice versa. You know, some people love slapstick. Some people love really dry, you know, straight humor. Or straight-faced humor. Some people like wit. Some people like puns. You know, everyone's different.
It's almost like everyone has their own style of comedy.
Right.
Whereas you don't really find styles of comedy or styles in other genres that people. Well, I mean, I guess maybe horror movies, but you don't really.
Well, there are different. There are different styles. I think.
Well, there are different styles, but I'm saying like there's like not really innate styles that people have. Like people have the like almost innate comedy. Like people, you know, like you said, puns. Some people love puns.
Mm-hmm.
So other people don't. Like slapstick, but you don't really find that innate love for different types of different types of style of the comedy in mm-hmm. other genres. Like, you know, there's not really different styles of drama that people like. I mean that people innately like differently. You know, people will generally like all different types of drama stuff.
Right, whereas, there's subgenres beneath comedy. Right.
Yeah. I think it's like comedy is more intimate with people. It's more ingrained in other genres, maybe.
That's probably true.
Because
I mean, there is that famous quote: if you tell people the truth, I'm going to slaughter this quote because I'm going to get it wrong. But it was, tell people the truth and they'll hurt you. Make people laugh while you tell them the truth and they'll listen, or something like that. Like I said, I'm slaughtering that quote. But if you want to get through to someone, the quickest way is to make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think it could have to do with whatever comedy you watched when you were young, or it could just be, you know, the way you were brought up. I'm not sure what makes certain comedy funny to some people and not funny to others. But what is true is that, you know, I asked some people, what's the worst comedy you've ever seen? And they said Wayne's World. I love Wayne's World.
Wow.
I love Wayne's World. Somebody said,
I love that movie.
Somebody said Laurel and Hardy. Laurel and Hardy created.
What?
Yeah, Laurel and Hardy is amazing to me. So, I mean, there's no accounting for taste.
But there are, you know, I don't want to use the word uptight, but certain people they don't get it. Like, you know, like maybe they don't like Laurel and Hardy. Maybe because it's old, I don't know, or maybe it's way too corny with Wayne's World. I don't know. You know, like that. People think like that,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But you know, it's like yeah, it's corny, and so what if it's old? Or whatever reason, you know.
I think it has a lot to do with what you're exposed to when mm-hmm. you're younger. Like I was
how you grew up.
I was exposed to Monty Python. I was exposed to particularly Abbott and Costello. I really love Abbott and Costello, but I don't really watch The Three Stooges or Laurel and Hardy, which are from around the same era. I can sit down and watch Abbott and Costello, but I don't really, you know, particularly identify with the Three Stooges that much.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen that their much of stuff or Laurel and Hardy stuff, even though they're
right.
from the same era. And I think it's because I was mainly exposed to.
Yeah, you're not used to that, pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly. I wasn't used to it. So I developed, I started appreciating their comedy rather than Three Stooges because I wasn't really exposed to them.
Yeah.
So I really think the type of comedy you go towards comes from the type of comedy you're exposed to.
Yeah, in my case, I think it just happened for me. Like no one showed me the type of comedy I liked. Like I was just, you know, I had HBO, I had Comedy Central.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's from people showing you stuff. Sometimes it's from
yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just something that happened that, you know, I think. When Mr. Show came on HBO, it blew me away because the style of comedy was so different and weird and new that, I've ever since watching Mr. Show on HBO, like I've always looked for that type of comedy. And, I think it depends on what you stumble upon or what they showed you. That'll affect you for forever, I think, you know.
And I think your taste also evolves over time, depending on, you know, where you are in your life or, people change, our brains change all the time. And I think comedy tastes probably change with them. with that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with, like you said, how you're brought up or what you brought up watching. But, I mean, it's also completely possible to grow up watching one type of comedy and then discover another later in life. So it's just one of those things that, you know, show somebody a bad action movie and they forget about it instantly. But you show them a bad comedy and they'll always hate that comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
And
Though I do remember one really horrible action movie that I hate.
What's that?
And that was Max Payne, I think.
Haven't seen it.
Really? You hated that movie?
I didn't hate it, but I'm not
saying it's any good, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I've forgotten completely.
I'm not saying hated it, but I just did not appreciate it.
It just stuck with you.
That one and the Street Fighter, which both are based on video games. Well, I mean, they're video game movies, so maybe that's pretty much why I don't like them. Not because they're video game movies, but the majority of video game movies that come out are pretty bad. So
I'd have to say the worst action movie I've ever seen was Hansel and Gretel.
No, not
Hansel and Gretel. I haven't seen that one. It was the Brothers Grimm.
Oh, the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
I've heard that everybody, does not like that.
I was really excited about that movie. I went to see it in the theater, and I almost walked out. It was pretty bad. I don't remember a lot of it, because I blocked it out, I guess. But I remember just walking out of it going, well, that's a waste of a whole half a day and money.
You see, that's there's an example right there where, you know, you thought it was going to be a good movie based on the trailer, and then you were misled by the trailer. Whereas, you can't really find that with comics.
It did look really cool.
Yeah.
Brothers Grimm, the trailer, but...
I mean, it's a cool concept, and it went right down their leg.
And it was directed by a really good director. One of the Monty Python guys directed that movie.
Was that Terry Gilliam?
Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
Get out of town!
Yeah. But the thing is, he hated that movie, too.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he was combating with the execs. On a lot of decisions for that movie, so you know, like, he's pretty upset about it himself, so like that says a lot too.
Well, that's fair. I think directors should be able to get a do-over if they don't like the movie they came out with. But
yeah, I remember, I'm making this up, but I think he did like a recut of it.
Oh, did he?
Or somebody did? Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know, but
because he tends to be really artsy, and I don't remember that movie being particularly artsy.
No? Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong. I don't remember much about it.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to... We have 57 minutes left, so... We on a...
57 minutes left?
50... We're 57 minutes in, I mean. And
We've got a couple minutes. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
Just never make us watch another bad comedy ever again.
Okay, I can't promise that.
I mean,
intentionally. Never make me intentionally want to watch a bad comedy ever again.
Again, I cannot promise that.
Well,
that's,
I can't promise I'll be here for that discussion.
All right.
But we did discuss some pretty interesting points on just comedy... we didn't talk about comedy, you know, in its entirety, but I'm saying, you know, specifically with bad comedies.
Let me ask you guys, I'll start with you, Pedro. What makes comedy bad comedy? And this is a completely opinionated question, which is fine.
I mean, it's, you know, there was something I wrote in, for The Watch, and it was... poorly chosen jokes, and I think if, you know, I think for comedy, which I think is a really hard thing to write, is something you really have to concentrate on, so that it can be effective to an audience, like it can be so that it can be funny, like it, you know, we really have to Like, I feel like it's poorly written jokes. I really feel... And it doesn't... And I'm talking about every kind of joke. Like, a visual joke or verbal. You know, if it's bad, it's bad. You know, like, that... I feel like it's just the jokes alone. So, yeah. I mean, you know... I mean, so much can be discussed about it. Like, the type of story... you know, but I really do, but if we're talking about comedy, it's, I mean, I'm just going to have to just say it's poorly written jokes, poorly chosen jokes, pretty much.
Okay. Steven?
I think mine is like an offshoot of what he said, and like going back to the reason why I picked my movie is like, they missed the point. You know, it's almost like they lost the reason for the jokes. It felt like they were just saying something just to say something, and there wasn't really a point or reason to it. You know, it's like they lost sight of what the jokes were supposed to be, and they just ended up referencing something instead of joking about. And I think you also need, if you're going to tell a joke, you need to take something and then poke fun at it, but poke fun out of something that's true about it, and like explore that. That truth to that point even to the point of absurdity, but at least have like a direction or a reason you're doing it for it. And I think that's what both Soul Plane and Scary Movie missed. It's like they forgot the point of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Absolutely. I think for me, what makes comedy bad or fail is when, kind of like what you said, when you don't have a good idea of what you're making fun of.
Yeah.
You know, even in the silent movies like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, even though it was mostly slapstick, there was usually a pretty good underlying story explaining what the motivations were behind their actions.
Yeah.
You know, watching somebody fall down, unless you're watching America's Funniest Home Videos, is not funny by itself. There's got to be a reason.
But even then, that's an underlying thing of like things that happen in your home, like,
right?
You know, funny home movies. Even that itself,
that has
even
a story. It's
very basic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a point behind it. Even
you know, right. watching someone get hurt is not funny unless. A, you understand, you know, okay, the guy's okay. Or, you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
She made a dumb mistake. Or, he's just a kid. You know what I mean?
Or it's ripping something that we've all done. Like, we've all tripped at that one place. Or we've all had that type of fall. You know, something that we can identify.
To give you an example of one thing, in Scary Movie 3, there was one... I guess I'll call it a joke or moment in the movie that just didn't sit with me at all to the point where I was almost disgusted. It was the part where they were playing with the dead body in the coffin.
All right.
I didn't find that funny at all. I mean, I wasn't insulted like, oh my God, how dare you do that? It was more like, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
It
didn't feel like that. Like they had an idea of what they wanted to do there.
There was no point. It was play with the dead body. It was, you know what I mean? It wasn't,
we need
to make sure that the dead body stays alive because that person over there thinks it's alive. No, it was just, let's fuck around with the dead body, excuse me.
Yeah. And there have been movies that have done that and done it well. I can't think right now. Right.
Weekend at Bernie's?
I do recall there being
right.
in which they involved that type of scene, and it actually worked. But you know, they actually had like a point or a reason to it. You know, there was like an overall idea behind it. Where this is just like just here's a scene, do whatever.
Yeah, but it was almost like it just kept going. It was like, okay, enough. We get it.
Yeah.
She's dead, and you're making fun. Like, okay, I get it. You know. I don't really feel like I had a moment like that in Soul Plane. I just, the whole movie was just like, oh, these people think they're funny and they're not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
there was a
so
there was
so
a
basically the whole movie was that scene.
Pretty much. Well, not that scene with the dead body seemed extreme in its unfunniness. Just okay. It was just like the whole room full of people screaming.
It was more you mean like it's more for shock, like it was,
yeah,
like,
it was shock but without a payoff.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. I don't know. I just didn't find
like,
that funny.
No, like I didn't find it funny either, yeah.
I didn't even get why it was in the movie. Like, was that a spoof of a movie?
It was, I guess, the thing is, I you know, there are people that do like that certain type of comedy where it's like, oh, he's playing with the dead body because it's so wrong. Like,
right.
It's hilarious because it's wrong. And that's it, you know.
The entire movie was around playing with the dead body, and it worked.
The same can be said for, like Family Guy. There's so many, like, things that are wrong. That are like they like you wouldn't go like, is that a joke or like?
Well, with Family Guy, I think you assume everything is a joke. You know what I mean?
Well, there was one part where I think there was like a beached whale, and I think Peter Griffin was trying to do as much as he could to get rid of the beached whale.
Uh-huh.
I think he was trying to save it, but then he accidentally kills it.
Yeah.
And then he, I think there's like guts involved of the whale, and you know, like I'm thinking like this isn't funny. This is kind of messed up.
Yeah,
but
there's
the thing
a lot
is,
of moments like that on Family Guy.
Yeah, but like it's like
I don't know. I really enjoy Family Guy. So I couldn't.
See, like Steven, like there are people that like that. You know what I mean? Like that, like
yeah,
sometimes. No, but the thing is,
see, like he's referencing real stuff. Like you know, there are you know, you can find videos all the time of beached whales, and it's basically like you know, how would Peter, at a stupid, imbecilic moron, react in that scene? And so for me, that meets all the criteria for like you know what would be a good comedy. Is it the best? No. But for the quick bit it was, I was like, it's pretty
funny.
The
thing is, like, I find that stuff funny, but it needs to have a certain purpose to it to make it funny, not just being shocking. And then you go, oh, it's shocking, haha, let me laugh. Well, that's me. The thing that's me, and everybody has their own style.
Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about. Everyone has their own opinion about what makes comedy funny or not, and that's why I find it so interesting.
And I'm sure I have friends, like, maybe in Facebook or whatever, that love Soul Plane. You know, like, I don't doubt that.
You should unfriend those people.
You should unfriend them immediately.
I'm not going to, yeah.
You should not be friends with those people.
But the thing is, they exist. Like, they're.
And that's possibly the scariest thing of all.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Triple Feature Podcast. Leave a comment. Tell us what is the worst comedy you've ever seen and why. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Like our Facebook page, Triple Feature Podcast. And keep coming back. Every month we will have a new episode for you. We can't wait to see you again next week, or next month rather, on the Triple Feature Podcast. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.